Good afternoon. I will be presenting on the Health Equity Action Training, Achieving Social Justice and Public Health, and our work, I just want to say, parallels some of the work presented earlier by Health Justice and Action. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So this project required several partners coming, the objective that you will, for this presentation that you will learn today are the objectives of the HEAT training, the educational strategies for preparing public health department staff to address the social determinants of health through the regular work, our findings, and our lessons learned. So our project required several partners coming together. I work for the Hispanic Health Council, which is a nonprofit community-based organization located in Hartford, Connecticut. Our mission is to improve the health and social well-being of Latinos and other diverse communities. And I work as part of the NIH Center for Eliminating Health Disparities Among Latinos. And we worked with the Connecticut Association of Directors of Health, CADH, with their Health Equity Alliance project. And CADH is a nonprofit membership organization that represents local directors of public health and departments and districts in the state, and they developed the Health Equity Alliance project. The Health Equity Alliance works to create healthier communities for Connecticut residents through a focus on the social, political, economic, and environmental conditions that affect health. The Health Equity Alliance project was piloted in three Connecticut communities. Each was charged with engaging the community, educating the workforce, and piloting an online interactive data tool called the Health Equity Index. The Health Equity Action Training, or HEAT, served as the core workforce development component for two of the pilot sites, the Hartford Department of Health and Human Services and the New Haven Health Department. So an overview of the HEAT training. We utilize two existing curriculum. Alameda County in California's Public Health 101 curriculum, particularly their Social and Health Equity module and their Undoing Racism module, and the Hispanic Health Council's Cross-Cultural and Diversity Inclusiveness training. The curriculum was 12 hours long, and each module was about 4 hours in duration. In Hartford, there were two training facilitators internal to the department working on the Health Equity Alliance project, and there was two external trainers. I was the main trainer in both New Haven and Hartford, and I worked with the consultant who was the director of the project in New Haven. And training sessions ranged from 2 to 8 hours depending on the scheduling needs of participants. And it was implemented in Hartford between September 2010 and May 2011, and in New Haven between March and May 2011. The goals of our project, our purpose was to prepare the public health workforce and local health departments to more fully address the social determinants of health affecting their communities. And our specific goals were to expose staff to the department's health equity initiatives, promote an understanding of the social determinants of health, establish common language for health equity, and engage staff in developing strategies to address health inequities through their regular work, which is very challenging. So our first module, Social and Health Equity, is intended to introduce participants to the concept of health equity. Didactic content included social determinants of health, health disparities, social inequities, health inequities, and social justice. Participatory exercises included the interactive game Varanga, which simulated social inequality and led to a discussion about meritocracy and oppression, and the Bobby exercise. So in the Bobby exercise, using asthma as an example of chronic disease, participants reviewed pictures of micro and macro causes of asthma and determined which level of determinant they would best fit. The pictures included dust, mites, pets, smoking advertisements, vehicle pollution, mold, secondhand smoke, etc. As you can see on the diagram, although it's really small on here, so I apologize, the different determinant levels given include age and hereditary factors, individual lifestyle factors, the social and physical environment, and the socioeconomic, cultural, and political environment. The take-home point of this exercise is that all these determinant levels are very important, and they all intersect. While public health interventions have more recently focused on individual lifestyle factors, each of these levels needs to be addressed in order to effectively reduce rates of chronic disease and eliminate health inequities. This module also incorporated the Place Matters episode of the film on natural causes and included the broader Health Equity Alliance initiatives for each city. In New Haven, the curriculum was tailored to include the 10 essential public health services as a framework for incorporating health equity. The second module, Undoing Racism, is intended to provide a framework of systemic racism and a safe space for participants to discuss the effects of racism on health. We utilize the film Race, the Power of an Illusion, specifically the first episode, The Difference Between Us, which debunks race as a biological validity, and episode 3, The House We Live In, which reviewed the history of institutional racism in U.S. society and its present-day implications. Participants discuss the relationship between racism and health inequities and brainstorm ways to address racism through public health practice. In the final module, Stereotyping and Bias involves cultural competency and is intended to provide participants with a foundation of knowledge, attitudes, and skills to work effectively with diverse populations. Didactic topics included blaming the victim, stereotyping, and oppression, and isms. In the drawbridge, participants read and processed a story about the tragic death of a young woman. Participants individually ranked the characters in the story according to who was most responsible to who was least responsible for her death. Participants discussed how, although it may seem obvious to blame the young woman for her own death because she behaved irresponsibly in the story, in actuality, each of the characters could have prevented her death. Participants were encouraged to think critically about public health problems and be aware of personal biases. In stereotyping exercise, participants conducted a stream of consciousness brainstorm about several different stigmatized groups. Volunteers read the stereotypes for each group, and participants processed what it felt like to consider, write down, and listen to these stereotypes, as well as the origins and implications of such stereotypes. Participants recognized the pervasive and damaging nature of stereotypes and the importance of actively debunking them. In New Haven, the curriculum was enhanced to include the communication skills of active listening and assertive communication, which are particularly useful when working with diverse communities. At the conclusion of the training, participants made specific, individualized commitments to promote health equity through the course of the regular work or in their personal lives. Participants identified one goal in which they will commit to achieving in the next 8 weeks to improve health equity. Participants completed an action plan, asking them to outline their timeline, action steps, and needed resources. Examples of goals that participants committed to include the following. Give out info about clinics and health outlets in the city in order to increase access to healthcare services. Educate restaurant personnel based on their language by having critical documents translated into multiple languages for access to the broader community. And help people vote in the city. In Hartford, the action plan was printed onto carbon copy paper in order to create 3 copies. One copy was handed in to training facilitators, one was kept by the participants so that they can work off that, and one was put them into a self-addressed envelope, which was mailed back to them 8 weeks later as a reminder of their commitment and an opportunity to continue their action plan and next steps. Demographics. Compared to New Haven, Harvard had a larger group of participants. This is partly because it is a larger health department, but it's also because the training was mandatory in that site. New Haven, some supervisors did require the training, but it wasn't required for all staff. Both cities had significantly more women than men, and the mean ages were about the same in the mid to upper 40s. Whites were the majority of participants in both cities. Both had about the same number of African-American participants, with the same percentage, about 33%. And New Haven had more white participants, and Hartford had more Latinos. Harvard had a small number of Asian participants as well. Supervisors were trained separately from frontline staff on purpose in order to protect frontline staff from having to talk about difficult issues with their supervisors. Staff were broken into interdisciplinary and interdepartmental groups. In both cities, staff from all divisions of the health department participated in the training, including but not limited to the environmental, disease prevention and promotion, maternal and child health, and administration divisions. In order to assess participants' self-reported knowledge, attitudes, and skills, the self-assessment was administered prior to the start of the training and then at its conclusion. Items were measured using a 5-point Likert scale. Unfortunately, we're still analyzing this data because we had significant concerns with the 5-point Likert scale. Being that these are public health practitioners, participants rated themselves really high in the beginning of the training, and therefore at the end, their ratings did not really increase too much. So, we have a lot of qualitative data that I will share with you. In terms of satisfaction, participants in both Hartford and New Haven were generally satisfied with the training. In Hartford, 76.7%, and in New Haven, 69.8% of participants were somewhat or very satisfied. This is especially notable because this was a mandatory training for most participants, and this training often challenged traditional thinking. Additionally, most participants reported that this training will be useful to their work. In Hartford, 74.7% of participants, and in New Haven, 73.8% reported that the training would be somewhat or totally useful to their work. Feedback. When asked, what is one thing that you will do differently in your work as a result of this training, participants reported that they will do the following. Question my own biases before I act. Take a greater understanding of health history and how racism impacts that history as we continue to move forward with our work. Be a lot more sensitive to unconscious behaviors and work to avoid stereotypes. Familiarize myself with our department's resources to properly refer people. Practice empathy, be a better listener, and see injustice and speak up when it happens. Our lessons learned. Staff expressed a multitude of ideas about public health principles, creative approaches to health equity, and unique perspectives on the department. When interviewed several weeks after the training, staff repeatedly reported how valuable it was to learn with and from their colleagues. This is particularly important in terms of health equity because given the nature of local health departments, staff often do not have this opportunity to work across departments, cross sections of the department. Opportunities for creative thinking were maximized by bringing together diverse staff. Despite any initial resistance to disrupt their work schedule, most employees seem to appreciate the opportunity to think critically, openly discuss difficult topics, and be challenged to promote health equity. They expressed that they had previously not had any reason to discuss challenging topics such as racism, and it was easy to shove under the rug. Some staff may always resist mandatory training, especially considering the multiple competing work demands which are exacerbated in these difficult economic times. Additionally, the topics covered in this training dealt with oppression, and as a result, sometimes discussions were contentious and challenging. However, staff really appreciated the interactive nature of the training and the chance to have a safe space to discuss these critical issues. Some staff really opened up about their own work-related experiences dealing with racism and other forms of oppression, and this was really profound. In order to effectively engage staff, department leadership needs to support the principles of health equity, both in values and in practice, and model how to promote change within the department. Some staff found it very challenging to focus on how to promote health equity within the community when they perceived increasing injustice at work. Staff reported feeling unreasonable pressure to do more with less resources. Many concerns involved local funding challenges that were external to the daily operation of the department. Nonetheless, this really emphasized the need for the department leadership to understand their staff's concerns and integrate health equity principles into the administration. It is helpful for the training to be mandatory for all staff so that everyone is provided with the foundation of health equity concepts. However, if this training is mandatory, it is very important that the requirement be applied universally to all staff in a consistent manner. Project success depends on both the department's commitment as well as individual staff members' commitment to incorporate changes that support health equity. And based on feedback received from employees, there is good reason to continue discussion about the social determinants of health. Suggestions for continued activities include continuing coalitions and community partnerships forged throughout the Health Equity Alliance project, host staff film viewings and discussions on health equity, display health equity posters and messaging throughout the department, and establish a citywide task force on health equity. Contracting trainers outside of the health department provided the staff with the opportunity to speak openly about concerns within their work environment. It additionally provided an unbiased view of the department, and a limitation of our assessment is that it's self-report by participants, as well as an inadequate scale, and an objective evaluation would more accurately measure participant learning.